At 26 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning, we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, Don, a biochemist, member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a vintner and a resident of Garden Valley, Texas, just to our north and east just a little bit. Don, good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. I see you're comfortably ensconced in your living room there. Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. And I've got my trusty dog with me.
Oh, yeah, I remember your dog.
Sophie is there.
Well, so got nearly as formal a shirt as you had on last week.
Yeah, well, no. Okay. This is a more casual. Yeah,
that's casual.
You're dressing down.
Oh, yes. It's acting like winter here. I mean, my goodness, I thought we were coming into spring, but it's getting cold again.
Yeah, pretty soon you and I will have to pull out our plaid flannels again.
We will. Yeah. I actually had a flannel shirt on yesterday, last night, but it didn't get that cold, so gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I really, really feel it. Now, it's only a minus three. It's all the way up to a minus three now. It was minus 13 when I got up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's heating up quite
nicely. You must be in the middle of that polar vortex. A listener from Oklahoma reminded us yesterday that we here in Texas are in the crosshairs of the polar vortex.
Yes. And, right, you're down at the tip of the bottom.
Yep. It's going to reach down here, too. So cold, and right now, light snow in Oklahoma where that person is. So,
Really?
Well, we're looking forward to the change. It's global warming, I think.
We're hip deep in global warming.
Well, if it's colder here, it's got to be warmer someplace else. It's all evened out, I think, is the way it works.
Global cooling. It's just, they can't get it right, so they call it climate change. There you go.
Listen, I put a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com, and I'm a little leery because this is the kind of thing that if the wrong people find out about us, they could shut us down. They could bar us from wherever they want to. But there's a link to a video in the chat window. You can click on it, and it's about biological warfare and the weaponization of COVID-19. It's about a half-hour video. And, Don, I have to admit, I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing. I got as deeply into it as I had time for. David sent us the contacts here, and I find it interesting that this particular link takes us to thenewamerican.com, their website, and after the short summary, there's a whole video there, but after their summary, they say our uncensored video content can be viewed at thenewamerican.com as well as these other sites, and they mention four websites trying to make sure that this video gets out and gets heard and gets seen. Rumble.com, BitChute.com, Brighteon.com, and Odyssey.com. David, these must be all those wild, wacko, rightist websites that you listen to, tune in for. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can put up your website in your backyard and make sure nobody gets into it. I find it interesting and instructive, Don, that I give out assignments for people to watch and listen to certain videos and pieces of information. And some people watch them and some people... Now, I'm not going to mention anybody's name, congratulations for paying attention. That's really nice of you.
Yeah, well, I try. When you send me something, I've already seen it already, or I know, since it's coming from a reliable source, that this is some information that might be of interest.
Yeah, I don't remember who I got it. Oh, I got it from my pal in Tampa. Buffalo sent it to me. Lakota sent it to me, and he... he looks at stuff as well. Now, the guy that my Air Force pal in Arizona, it gets some shaky stuff every once in a while, but it's pretty obvious when it comes in that it's over the edge.
This one is coming from an apparent expert, though, because her credentials impress me. This is Dr. Lee Merritt. And now, I have not heard of this association. She is the former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she has a long history, not just in medicine, but with military medicine specifically, and has some interesting positions on not only the COVID-19 virus, but also this vaccine. And she talks about the whole thing being weaponized by the Chinese. Then she doesn't say that they released it on purpose. She doesn't know whether it was an accident, but either way, the result could well be the same. And she insists that this is weaponized. What does she mean by weaponized, Don?
Well, as she explains in the video, had you watched the whole thing?
Wow.
That's the other thing. You don't have to watch it at the normal speed. You could double the speed. You could 1.5 times the speed. So you could get through the video a lot quicker if you do that.
This means you're a speed viewer as well as a speed reader, eh?
I guess. Yeah, you got to learn these little tricks. Yeah, otherwise, okay. There's not enough time for all of the information that's being pumped out world these days. But, okay, so weaponizing, how do you weaponize a virus? Well, the coronavirus has been around for a long eons of time. And it's of course, is the common cold that we often, that's some people get quite often. And the difference between this coronavirus and your common cold is that they put something on the virus to make it stickier and more infective, if you will. So, and that's that is the spike protein that is been grafted on.
So you're saying that was artificially attached. In other words, it was intentional by somebody.
Right. It normally isn't there on the natural coronavirus, and it has been stuck there. We know that now. and it's been stuck there in these biological warfare laboratories. Of course, Wuhan was one of them. The interesting thing is that the technology for that came from a U.S. laboratory. So she says, and I agree with her, we will probably never know whether this was released purposely or if it was accidental. It kind of doesn't matter now since the virus is out there. But what the spike protein does is it sticks to a kind of a marker on your cell, on the cell surface, that is ubiquitous. This marker is everywhere. It's on every cell. So it's on your heart cells and liver cells and lung cells. So it makes it much more readily available to infect a person and infect the cells that you need very much. I mean, so you get a widespread infection, and that infection can be so rapid that your immune system gets overwhelmed and starts pumping out all kinds of immunes, and most of the people have died from a hyperimmune response to the virus. And that's what she means by weaponizing it.
That's interesting in itself, that these people would have died from their own system's overreaction. And not, I guess, in effect, you would point to the virus and say that's the cause of death indirectly. One of the things that I've heard in media, major media even here recently, is that, yes, it did come from China. That much they seem to be buying.
Well, yes, I don't think anybody would refute that, since that's where the primary infections were. We're in China, and then, of course, the folks that attended the Chinese New Year in China and then came back to various places. Italy, of course, was a heavily populated area, and, of course, they got infected, and then from there, Europe, and then, of course, folks came here to the States, and it spread very rapidly after the initial infections. That we know. Someday, probably somebody will make a video of how quickly this thing spread throughout the world. We know that, it is a pandemic from the point of view that it has infected so many people around the world. There is a question in my mind, and a question in Dr. Lee Merritt's mind as well, yes, this is a virus that is affecting a lot of people, but how deadly is it? I mean, it seems to be, of course, being purported to be more deadly than it actually is. And she gave the statistics, and it, you know, she said 99.1% of the people survive who get apparently infected with this virus. And a common flu, for example, in a common flu season, it's 99.2%. So you got 0.1%, increase death rate with this virus compared to a common flu. So it's been over touted as being as serious a threat as the media and others have been portraying it. You know, which brings up her second point of, well, and she also mentions in the video, and of course, you know, we've had the hydroxyquinolone and ivermectin and all of these other solutions, if you will, to viral infections. And of course, vitamin D is very important, as we've talked about probably on this program before, to get your vitamin D level up, because that's the number one vitamin that you can take that will that enhances your immune system and protects you from any type of infection, much less the coronavirus infection.
And in fact, at one point in the video, she gives a listing of the things she takes daily to boost her own immune system. Would these be called? Would you refer to those chemicals you just mentioned as therapeutics?
They can be in a couple of classes. One, of course, vitamin D is a preventative. When you keep your immune system, built up and, ready to fight any type of infection.
And I remember she made the point, too, that you don't get enough from sunshine. You need to supplement the vitamin D.
Yes, that's correct. And especially, those folks that live in the northern parts of the world, which is most of the population, don't get enough sunshine. And even now, we're not getting any sunshine because we've got clouds on a day like this. But taking supplements, and this is high levels of vitamin D. We're not talking about 100 international units or something like that. We're talking about 5,000 to 10,000 units of vitamin D supplements that a person should be taking
every day.
Every day. Sure. And the best way of doing this, and she did mention, 30 nanograms per mil, I think, or 100 mils or something. Is the blood concentration of the vitamin that is kind of required to ward off infections. And this has been studied and known for a long, long time that, you need to get your blood vitamin D levels measured so that you know that, okay, maybe I only need to take 1,000 units or maybe I need to take 10,000 units. You don't really know until you actually do a blood test or get a blood test done to measure your vitamin D levels know.
And this would be a defense against anything that invades your body, not just COVID. I mean, vitamin D is a boost to your immune system, which means it would help you fight off the flu as well.
It helps you fight off the flu. It helps you fight off cancer. I mean, it's been shown that people who take, have very strong vitamin D levels have less of a cancer risk than those who don't. So it's very important to your system, to your immune system, and to the health of your cells. And so it's a good thing, to take. Now, you got to be careful about taking too much calcium while you're taking vitamin D, because obviously, we've all learned that vitamin D is used in the metabolism of calcium and depositing, calcium into your bones to make strong bones and teeth and that type of thing. So don't overdo it on the calcium, otherwise you might get spurs in your joints. And
so that calcium does not automatically come with vitamin. It's vitamin D3 specifically, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Now, right. So does calcium come with that? Or you're simply saying it helps your body create the calcium that you need?
No, it's used in the transport of calcium.
So
out of your blood system into your bones and things like that. So you have to be careful on that end. You know, the only reason why I mentioned that is because if people are taking calcium supplements,
gotcha,
along with vitamin D, you could be taking more calcium than you really should be taking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, consult your doctor and talk to your medical practitioner about these things, and they can help you out along those lines.
So you can get a simple blood test, and they can say this is your vitamin D level now.
Yes, okay. Exactly. You can. Okay. And there's an organization online that people can go to and order. They could do the blood test themselves at home. They can't do the test at home, but they can
bleed at home. Yeah,
you can bleed at home. You can put it on a little paper or cardboard pad. You send that in, and they send you your results via email. And so you can monitor your vitamin D levels, you know, over the course of the year, for example, and make sure that your levels are always up to the level that is needed, especially during flu season, especially during the winter when you don't get a lot of sun, for example, in most of the parts of the world, of the country.
Now, there's another aspect about this video, and again, I didn't see the whole thing, so I'm just going to ask you. She also talks about the vaccine that has been developed and its possible effects. What did she have to say about the vaccine?
Okay, well, let's make the transition from preventatives like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin.
Yes.
I mean, and treatments, by the way. Early hydroxychloroquine has been proven. There is no question that people who have taken hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and an antibiotic along, you know, together in the early stages of infection, fare much better than anybody else.
And there seems to be people out there that don't want you to believe that yet.
Yes, it's crazy. It's insanity. And that leads us to the vaccine. Because if you have a cheap method of healing people, of keeping people from going into a more serious disease, then there is no need for the vaccine, which was her point. There is no need for the vaccine because we have these old antiviral type of treatments that work and work quite well. So if you already have the virus and you've had it for some time, ivermectin is your next choice. And ivermectin with, a common steroid, for example, can help and clear your passageways so you don't really get into trouble. So we have these treatments, and doctors have been screaming these treatments over the internet, and then they get shut down as being, you know, quacks. And doctors with credentials like Dr. Lee Merritt, for example, they get shut down. And so you got to ask yourself why, and I don't want to get into that. But the point with the vaccine now is that this is not made in the usual way that vaccines are made. Okay, a typical vaccine, let's say a polio vaccine, you take the agent that causes polio, the virus or whatever that causes polio, you kind of denature it or you make it less active, you grow it up, you grow the actual, let's say, a virus in chicken eggs, and then you collect a bunch of the viruses and you denature them, you make them less virulent. And then you inject that into people. That's your vaccine, so that the folks' natural immune system then creates an immune response to the pieces of the virus, and then you have immune memory, if you will, if that virus ever came around, your immune system would say, aha, this is foreign, I recognize it, and attack it and neutralize it very, very quickly. That's your normal immune system. That's how it normally works. That's how vaccines normally work. This is completely different in that it is built around messenger RNA. And what is messenger RNA? It's it's like a computer program. So computer program, you stick it into, and she used this example, it's a very good example, a 3D printer that says, here's the code I want to make. I want to make something with the 3D printer. I want to make a bolt or something, and with my 3D printer. So you need instructions for the printer in order to make that bolt. And so the you take the code for the instructions for making that layer by layer. You stick it into the 3D printer, and voila, a bolt comes out, and you got a nice bolt. Depending on your type of printer, it could be in metal, it could be in plastic, or whatever the printer is printing. That is the same as the messenger RNA. So the messenger RNA is the code required to make proteins. So in your cell, you have the nucleus, of course, which has the DNA, but the DNA is not going to do you any good unless you get messenger RNAs out of the DNAs in order to make the proteins that you need for yourself. So we are kind of bypassing the DNA, and we're injecting now people with messenger RNA. Apparently, this is the information that's out there. Whether it's 100% accurate, who knows? Because this information is pretty well kept secret as to what exactly the messenger RNA actually codes for. But supposedly, it's for the spike protein, or at least parts of the spike protein, and so. You get injected with the messenger RNA. It needs to be encapsulated into a liposomal type structure so that it can actually get into your cells. So it's packaged in a way that it actually gets into your cells. Your cells then use its normal protein synthesis mechanism to make more copies of the spike protein. And then your cells either die or lyse, open up, and spew the protein out into your bloodstream. Your bloodstream, your immune system says, oh, I got something foreign here that is leaking out into my system. I need to attack it. And so your natural immune system comes into play and makes antibodies towards the spike protein. Now, there's a couple of problems with this in that, one, this has never been done in humans before. All the experiments, and she goes into this, all the experiments in animals that have been done have caused a super autoimmune response in the animals sometime after they've been exposed to being vaccinated. So the animal gets vaccinated, they build up an immune response, they get then months later get challenged with, let's say it was to a virus, to the actual virus. The animal then goes into a hyperimmune response and dies. So
and she did say that these were tests on, I think, ferrets. And another Atoms. Animal, and she said they all died.
They all died, which should give you pause to say, how can we jump from a failed experiment into a human experiment on the millions and millions of bases, on patients, basically. We're hoping that humans somehow recover, we are already seeing deaths, for example, not by the millions, but we are already seeing deaths from either from heart attacks, blood clots, for example, which is a side effect of the immunization is blood clotting, and from hyperimmune responses. Sometimes to the second injection of not even to the virus itself, but from the second injection, people go into a hyper autoimmune response, and it looks like they have the same type of response you're trying to protect yourself against. So there's a lot that we don't know about this vaccine, and by the fact that it is a new mechanism for creating vaccines, it should be enough pause for everyone to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I'll hold off.
One of the things we do know, though, is this vaccine is creating billions of dollars in income for pharmaceutical companies, and that enters into the picture, too.
It does enter into the picture. Why does it enter into the picture? Well, if you already have very cheap means of curing a disease, why do you even want to take a vaccine that might harm you, and especially a new one with a new mechanism of action, if you will? And so you got to ask the question, why is the CDC and you know, the government, if you will, promoting this as the way to, you know, stop the COVID, the spread of the COVID virus, when indeed we have all of these effective cheap means of treating people who get the disease? And you're only, I mean, people can draw their own conclusions, but the conclusion, one of the conclusions is, gee, you know, if you have cheap medicines that can help cure the disease, then there's no need for a vaccine, and therefore the vaccine companies or these mega, you know, pharmaceutical companies then don't make billions and billions of dollars.
Especially for a disease that doesn't kill that many people.
Exactly. As we said earlier, you know, this is not that much more dangerous than your common flu that comes around, you know, every year anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. So none of this, you know, none of this makes sense from the point of view of common medicine, and the medical professionals are now standing up in droves in saying this. But at the same time, you know, you have the other side still saying, well, you need to get this in order to, you know, travel or go to another state or do this or do that, which is another, you know, problem that she mentioned. Was that the, you know, we came down hard on the German government during, you know, Hitler's reign, because they were doing experiments on people without their informed consent. And this certainly sounds a lot like that, because normally, you know, if you get some medicine from your doctor, your doctor prescribes some medication, and you go to Walmart or wherever you get your prescriptions fulfilled, they have to print out and they have to explain to you the side effects that this medicine is going to cause so that you clearly understand what you're taking. That is not being done with this. Mm-hmm. So,
meanwhile, over in China, in Wuhan, the World Health Organization and Chinese experts held a press conference this morning, or it's, you know, earlier in the day, is for, over there. And they've said that there's no way it could have come from the lab. And they've decided that. Now, the World Health Organization is making these announcements. And the guy that's making the pronouncement, Peter Emberich, who was the head of the WHO team, has said there's no way it could have come from the lab. We've looked at everything around the lab and every place that the Chinese let us look. And we have to assume that it's coming somehow from the open air market. So we're back to the open air market again.
Back to square one. But just the fact that the Chinese officials would not let them go where they wanted to go should be a clue here, I think.
And that they're bothering to release this information at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And furthermore, Dr. Barrett's presentation in this video suggests that all the lockdowns, all the panic, all the masks, all the response is overblown, overhyped. Right. This is, and it has to do with dollars and political power, maybe military power as well. That's a scary thing. Dr. Don Clark is a biochemist, member of the board of Creation Moments. .com is their website, creationmoments.com, and that's a storehouse of information, scientific information that has to do with the biblical story of creation. You might want to pay them a visit at creationmoments.com. We learned a lot this morning, and again, if anybody wants to see the video that we were discussing, there is a link at brokenroadradio.com in the chat window for as long as they let us sport that link. So take a peek, see what you think, and make up your own mind. And Don, thanks very much. Appreciate having you around to straighten us out on this. We'll see you next week.
Okay, very good.
Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye.
Y'all have a blessed week.
You too.